This particular presentation is going to be a very high level view. It's going to be a concept, and here's what we're allowed to do. I'm not going to be getting into the nuts and bolts regarding how to go through the process of annexation. It's very detailed. The paper that I provided, unlike Terrence, I don't have pages memorized. I'm not nearly as smart as Terrence, but there is a paper there that does detail the process. I need to take this moment and thank Scott Houston, because I took my paper basically from his and took out all the policy issues associated with it and boiled it down to basically the processes associated with annexation. Then, of course, the statute is the last place you're, or is really the first place you're going to want to look with respect to the process associated with it. You're going to have questions that come up during the presentation about how we do, how something mixes with something else. Because if you read it, if you read the nuts and bolts, it looks like there are some areas where a particular part of the statute conflicts with another part of the statute. I don't have answers to those questions yet. I actually have not gone through either a consent. I've not gone through a consent exempt annexation, but I have handled one or two consent annexations under special circumstances. So I don't really have answers. I wish I did. What I do have is thoughts. I have ideas. I've got legal theories. I've got arguments I can make in front of a court. And hopefully if it works out right and I get all the marketing done, I'm going to have a great game of annexation monopoly where all properties are developed by MUDs and SUDs, and the rules change every two times you roll the dice. So that's probably the only thing I have for you. So let's talk real quick about consent exempt annexations. These are scattered throughout the code. Some of them are found at the very beginning of the code, as you can see from the section numbers 4300, 0115, 0116, 012, 013, 0751. And then some of them are found at the back of the code, 01 and 102, or 101 and 102. But essentially, these are the annexations that you can accomplish without getting the consent of either the voters, the landowners, or the residents within the area. The enclave is relevant only to Fort Worth. Another great example of how our legislature does a great job playing with brackets when they adopt legislation. 430116 authorizes a city to annex an area that is part of an industrial district, which is, of course, located in your ETJ. Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about annexing it, but gives you authority to annex areas in an industrial district. 012 are areas that are owned by a type A general law municipality. 013 gives municipalities in general authority to annex a navigable stream. 0751H is the provision that authorizes you to annex property involved in a strategic partnership. And those are the ones I have dealt with mostly here in the last, 7 or 8 months. We also cities can annex municipally owned reservoirs, found in 101 of the statute. If you have a municipally owned airport, you can, of course, annex that, even if it's not contiguous. And road and right-of-way is also consent-exempt annexations. But here's the interesting thing about these consent-exempt annexations. You still have to follow and comply with subchapter C1. Now, subchapter C1 is the old process we had to follow when we were annexing those properties which did not have to be included in a municipal annexation plan. Subchapter C1 still exists. Some of it has been repealed and replaced. But if you do a consent exempt annexation, you still need to follow those procedures in subchapter C1. That includes the hearing provisions, the hearing requirements, the public hearing requirements, the provision of service requirements. You have 90 days to complete the annexation from the date the annexation proceedings begin. And then, of course, the specific procedures associated with tracts that contain fewer than 100 residents is still there. And so it's an odd thing because there's specific provisions for how you annex an area with less than 200 residents and how you annex an area with more than 200. But be sure that you remember the C1 procedures. Then also, not only does consent exempt annexations need to comply with subchapter C1, 430505 of the statute provides that you also have to comply with those provisions in subchapter C. And most of subchapter C, if you go read it in the code, the paper code, which I still have and love rather than online, although it may be online, these are probably still online as well. Much of that has been stripped away or repealed, but the width requirements are still in there, the 1,000-foot. The maximum amount of area that you can annex in a year is still in there. The requirement for provision of services is still in there. And then there's certain public hearing requirements that are still in there. So remember, even if you're doing a consent exempt annexation under one of the provisions authorized in the code, you still need to comply with subchapter C1 and pay attention to subchapter C. One of the questions I have that I don't have an answer to because I haven't had to deal with it, is how do we deal with the hearings in C1 and also the hearing requirements in subchapter C?